Up in the morning at the crack of dawn, down to the kitchen with my long johns on. Get out the skillet, put the flapjacks on, I'm a-going fishing. Take a deep breath of the morning air, it'll chase your worries and lose your cares. Grab your rod and I'll meet you there, I'm a-going fishing.
Jeff Perrin has owned the Fly Fisher's Place in Sisters, Oregon since 1991. He's fished the rivers and lakes of Central Oregon for much longer than that, and he knows an awful lot about fly fishing. His weekly fishing reports at flyfishersplace.com are the best in Central Oregon. This month, we'll talk about how to catch and release with care. Handling frisky fish can be a challenge, but there are good practices that we can all learn. And this idea, the idea for this show, came out of Jeff's recent report of steelhead returning to Central Oregon's famed Metolius River. And that's fantastic news. And we all want to make sure that these fish and all fish thrive, spawn, and return to their rivers, respective rivers, for years to come. Welcome back, Jeff.
Hey, good to be here, Michael.
Now, what are some of the good practices that we can talk about here?
Well, you know, this did come about, and I appreciate you kind of bringing more attention to it. You know, I know that you read the weekly fishing reports, and, you know, I from time to time go on a bit of a rant on those when I think things are important and want to share information and educate people to, you know, to good practices or get them, you know, behind kind of a grassroots cause, which we've done many times on over the years through that simple little fishing report blog that I put out every week or so. So thanks a million for bringing this to the forefront of people's attention, because I think it's timely. I think it's really, really important. And I think with social media and, you know, iPhone video and, you know, GoPros and that sort of thing, sometimes we maybe don't have the best interest of the health of the fish in mind as we try to generate, you know, kind of the hero shots or likes for our, you know, our followers that we might have on social medias and things. So it became ever so concerning to me when somebody posted a video of a steelhead release on Metolius here within the last week or so that was just atrocious fish handling. But I think, you know, I want to bring to the attention of our listeners that, you know, it's not this isolated incident. I think anybody that looks at magazines or YouTubes, catalogs, websites, social media, you know, there's a lot of fish pictures out there that just don't quite, you know, show safe handling practices. And so I just wanted to kind of take a few minutes here today and talk about how, you know, myself and you and everybody that might be listening might be able to, you know, handle fish better so that they have more survivability when they're released. And ultimately, that's the goal, right? Where we are, you know, enjoying fish at their expense, but we want to share that, you know, that special connection that we have with the fish with other people. Other people are going to go and try to catch that fish on another day. That fish is important in the system and that they're potentially going to spawn and make a lot more fish for the future. And, you know, we love the places that we go fishing because the fish are there, right? I mean, it's just so exciting to be able to go and fool a trout or fool a steelhead or fool a bass or whatever kind of fish it is that we're after from Central Oregon and beyond. And so I just think that, you know, really thinking about practices for safe handling and catch and release fishing is the topic of conversation today. So I'll start by you know, what to do when we hook the fish. You know, I think that that's step number one. It's not just about, you know, once that fish is out of the water, but it's also about, you know, using the right tackle, using the right size tippet, and knowing, you know, how much pressure you can put on the fish to get that fish into the net quickly. And you know, as a guide and as somebody who's been around the fishing world for a long, long time, I see people that, you know, quite honestly, just don't put enough pressure on the fish and don't know how to bend the rod in the correct way to put pressure on the fish. Instead, they break the tippet and they break the fly off, and then they're more gingerly with it on the next one rather than learning how to correctly fight the fish. So, you know, there's a rod and a tippet will handle a lot more pressure than people think, but it's how you put that pressure, where you apply that pressure in the rod down to the grip, getting more of the rod to flex, not just the tip, and the angles that you hold the rod are really good tools to get that fish to the net quickly so that, you know, you minimize the fight time of the fish, which minimizes lactic acid buildup, so that the fish has a great chance of survival upon its return to the water. So that's number one. Number two would be obviously pinch your barbs so that when you do get the fish to the net, you're not having to really fight to get that hook out of the fish's mouth. It comes out very simply, usually just with your fingertips, your thumb and index finger can grab that fly and back it out of the fish's lip or tongue. And get that fish carefully back in the water without, you know, excess handling. A barbed hook requires extra time to get that hook out of the fish's mouth. And so a barbless hook just makes the process easier. But now we have the fish in, all right? And so what do we do with it? I mean, you know, it's okay to take a picture with a fish, but it's important to be prepared to take a picture with a fish. So I'm a big believer of nets. I think handling a fish and bringing a fish in to a net is very important. It keeps us from grabbing the fish in their vital organs and squeezing on vital organs when we're trying to subdue the fish. The fish is cradled inside the net. They might flop around a little bit, but they're not getting injured inside of a net, where if they flop around in our hands, we might squeeze a little bit harder to keep them from flopping out of our hands. So a net is a really great tool in the process of handling the fish well. It's also a great tool to be able to hold the fish in the water where they can breathe, where their water is getting through their gills. They can breathe and start to revive themselves as your friend, your fishing partner, or your guide gets the camera ready for a very quick shot. Now, here's where it becomes, I think, really important. That fish picture needs to be set up where the camera is set up so that when you pull that fish out of the net, it is literally still dripping water. And that fish shouldn't be out of the water for more than about 10 or 15 seconds. 20 seconds would be probably the maximum for any trout out of the water. And anything beyond that is definitely doing potential damage to the fish. And a lot of people are like, well, the fish swam away just fine. Yeah, they swim away just fine, but lack of oxygen and lactic acid in their system from overfighting and then being above water too long eventually kills them. And you'll see those fish laying on the bottom, you know, a day later or hours later, they'll have expired and you'll see them laying on the bottom. I see it far, far too often at the lakes, and you see it from time to time on the rivers too. So, Those are some really important things. I want to mention something else that I hope a few people that are listening that I know I follow on some of their pages on social media. I see people laying fish down in the grass when they're releasing fish to take a photo. You know, sometimes next to a rod to give it scale. Sometimes just because it's easier, you know, they're fishing by themselves and it's just an easy place to lay a fish out for a quick photo. But any dry land, whether that be grass or dirt or rock or gravel, is terrible, terrible fish handling practices and shouldn't be done. So if you are out on your own and you need to take a photo of a fish by yourself, cradle it in a net and keep it in the water and get, you know, kind of an above net, above water shot, or maybe your iPhone or your GoPro has an underwater capability, take an underwater photo. That's a cool shot anyway. But absolutely never, ever, ever put a trout or steelhead or salmon up onto the bank to take a photo of it. It's just terrible practice and sure to damage that fish to the point of death or to the point of it not living as long of a life as it should.
So I have a question about netting and the hook release. So sometimes, especially whether you're on a river or a lake, you know, I net a fish, and so the fish is in the net. But what sometimes the hook is like, especially with nymph fishing, much more so than dry fly fishing, where the hook is like pretty deep into the mouth. Do you? And more often than not, I try to, if it's a dry fly in the lip, I try to just use my fingers. I mean, I don't try to use a tool. But do you ever use tools to help release a really troubling hook?
I do, and I think that's a great question, and I think an important part of the conversation. So, you know, I think almost every fly angler out there is going to have, you know, some forceps that are either dangling off of their, you know, vest or chest pack, or maybe around a lanyard on their neck. And forceps are, for those that aren't, you know, keen on what that term is, they're like a long pair of pliers, almost like they would, you know, your surgeon would use to clamp off a blood vessel during surgery, or, you know, to grab something, organ in surgery. Well, we use a similar tool in fly fishing because they're great for their fine, long jaws, thin, long jaws kind of get inside, you know, a fish's mouth without doing damage, and they can grab a hook very easily, where you can then back it out if your fingertips won't go inside of a trout's mouth. Those will easily get inside of a trout's mouth to back that hook out and safely, you know, get that fish back into the water. So, yeah, I agree. Sometimes dry flies get down in there a little bit deep too, but more often than not, the dry flies seem to get, you know, right in the edge of the lip, usually in the corner of the mouth or the top lip. But nymphs sometimes do, just because of our slower reaction to the fish taking it, where the dry fly take is so visual, the nymph take is either done by feel or with a strike indicator, which is a delayed response to the fish actually eating the fly. So the fish might get that nymph down there a little bit deeper. And you're absolutely right. Having the right tool for the job to get that hook out is important. Now, sometimes we can't get the hook out, and that's okay. It's not going to kill the fish if you just, you know, if you're sitting there, you know, standing in the river or, you know, leaning over the side of your float tube or your boat, and you've got a fish with a hook down in, you know, in its mouth a little bit further and is maybe twisted just some, and you just can't get it out, just cut the leader and let the fish go. That hook will rust out in a few days. I've caught lots of fish over the years that have had other hooks in their mouth that I was able to actually get out during the release of my hook. I'll tell you a great story, actually. Years and years ago, when I was still working at the fly box in Bend, I had this really good friend of mine from Switzerland named Hans, and I think it was one of the first times I took Hans to the Fall River. We went down below the tubes. There's that beautiful riffle that comes in between the tubes and the falls, kind of makes a big S-turn there. And I remember getting set up with Hans in the parking lot there at the Fall River Falls parking lot. And we both tied on 6X tippet and some comparidons to match the mayfly hatch that we expected to see. Hans cast his three-weight rod across the river with the comparidon. The fly drifted along the opposite bank. A nice trout came up and rose to it. He set the hook, and he broke the fly off. Well, anyway, to make a long story short, the fishing was so good on that evening of fishing that the next night after work, we decided to go back to the exact same place, both of us setting up our three-weight rods, 6X tippet, comparidons for the evening, and Hans goes to the exact same place, throws his fly across the river, sets the hook on the first trout that rose to his fly, and got his fly back from the night before and released the fish. So, you know, oftentimes fish will go back to their you know, normal feeding routine, even with a hook in their mouth. And like I said, it only takes a few days for a hook to dislodge on its own or to rest out of a fish's mouth. So it's better just to cut the leader, give up the fly, and let the fish have a safe release than anything else in those circumstances.
Yeah. Have you ever used this thing called, it's a brand name, Catch 'em Release? It's kind of it's a special tool. It's not like it's like you slide it down the leader, or the tippet and on, and then into the hook and then push off.
Yeah. I have actually, there's one actually, Catch 'em Release are okay. They're made by the same company that makes lamps and reels, and they have them in, I think, four sizes, a micro, and then like an average size, and then a couple bigger ones. So you have to have different size Catch 'em Release for different size flies, or different if you're fishing with bead-headed flies or non-bead-headed flies. So it adds to, you know, some expense and complication, but they do work. And I've sold them in the shop. I've used them a little bit. I still prefer a net, and either my fingertips or forceps to release the fish, over that. But there's a great tool that was invented by, a guy on the McKinsey, and I remember fishing with him years ago at the McKinsey Masters, which Harry Teal and some other fellows started, which is a golf and fishing tournament that was held each mid-May. One day golfing at Tokidi and one day guiding on the McKinsey. But there was a guide that invented this tool that was at the time a wine cork with a bent coat hanger that was bent in just the right way that you could, as you brought the fish to the side of the boat, he could grab the leader with the bent coat hanger and slide it down, and then just with a flick of his wrist, the hook would come unhooked out of the fish's mouth and swim away without ever having to handle the fish. And ultimately, that is the very best release that anybody could ask for. There could be some argument that if you fought the fish for a long time, it would have been better to revive the fish for a moment. But I think in general, most people are going to be not overplaying the fish, and so that's the best release possible. There's actually a commercial version of that that we sell. We get it from Hairline Dubbing out of Monroe, Oregon. It's a really cool little tool. It's about $10, and it's really neat for people that are fishing out of boats or pontoon boats, float tubes, and has certainly play for you know, wading anglers at, say, the Crooked River or the Deschutes or any place. Where I wouldn't use it is if I was fishing really light tippet, like, you know, 6.5 or 7X, because I do think it could easily break the knot at the tippet, and you'd lose a lot of flies. But for average size flies and tippet, I think it's a great tool to have and add to your collection of tools to, you know, care for the fish better.
Yeah. Another issue, I think, is just the friskiness of fish sometimes, you know. I mean, even when they're in a net, I mean, obviously, they want out, you know, and they make that pretty obvious, so that sometimes it gets very hard. I often find that I have to, even when I'm on my float tube with my net over the side, that sometimes the fish has to come out a little bit out of the water, but what I try to do is just to keep it in the water as much as possible, keep most of the body in the, you know, but sometimes you do have to kind of lift the head out a little bit to even get your finger down onto the hook. So I guess the key thing there is to try and keep the fish wet as possible while that's happening. And even when you, like you said, 10-15 seconds, I mean, it would be less than that, you know, a fish is like kind of up a little bit, the gills are maybe out of the water for 5 seconds, but to try and keep in mind that there's a limit, and at a certain point you got to get that fish back down into the water, because that's where they breathe.
That's exactly right, and if that's how you're doing it, man, applause to you, because you're doing it right.
There's a website, keepfishwet.org.
Yeah, www.keepfishwet.org. And a lot of these same tips are found there. This is an organization that's probably been around for about a decade now, and they are just advocates for all kinds of fish. And I think they saw the same thing that we're talking about today, that just a lot of, you know, some people are brand new to the sport and never were educated correctly on how to safely handle fish. And I think at the other end of that, the other side of the coin, I see lots of guys that have fished for a long time that were just never taught how to really care for a fish either. And boy, I've seen some really sad stuff on the lakes where, you know, guys from the fly club, for instance, who should know better, you know, play a fish and you know, bring this nice, you know, 20-inch rainbow to their tube and then just kind of toss it in like it's a bluegill, you know. And now a trout needs care after release. And so when you bring a trout in and get that hook out, you really need to, you know, kind of hold that fish for a moment and make sure it's really breathing well, and again, just minimize that air exposure and keep them wet, and then let them go, you know, where they can swim off on their own accord. But it's very, very important to take all those principles that we talked about, not just that one, but all the principles that we talk about, and gently release that fish back into the water. Never throw them or drop them into the water. You know, let them bring them down into your hands, or bring them back down in with the net, and let them swim off on their own. I want to mention one other thing that came to mind as you were talking about kind of struggling with fish in your float tube, and this can be fish anywhere. Did you know that actually if you turn a trout upside down for just a moment, it kind of throws off their equilibrium for a few seconds extra, where they do not wiggle at all, and that can be the difference between being able to kind of wrangle them for just enough time to get the hook out, as opposed to also having to wrestle with them while you're getting the hook out. So turning them upside down briefly is a really good practice to get the hook out for those fish that are being a little extra difficult on you.
I didn't know that. Cool. So I think we should take care of bluegill though too.
I think we should take care of every fish that we're going to let go. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything more that you want to add, Jeff Perrin?
No, but what a great conversation. I would say that, you know, anybody that wants to discuss this matter more can email me at greendraycatch@gmail.com. They can give me a call at the fly shop, 541-549-3474. Stop by and visit with any of us at the fly shop. I know Matthias and Aaron and Sequoia and Drew and I all kind of feel the same about how fish should be handled. And this is a topic of conversation that we talk about in the shop, and being that we're passionate about being good to the fish.
And one other thing I would add, we don't have to take a picture of every fish we catch. I hardly ever take pictures, actually.
Yeah, I agree. I think that goes in stages for people at different stages of their angling life, but I agree with you, you know, that you don't have to get a picture of everyone. You get a picture of a special one once in a while, but everyone just isn't necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, thank you so much, Jeff Perrin, for taking time here on the Radical Songbook to talk about the ways to take care of the fish that we catch and release.
Great to talk to you, Michael.
Gone fishing, gone fishing, gone fishing today. Gone fishing, gone fishing, gone fishing, gone fishing my troubles away.